What's up, bitches? This is Mama Knows Anime Podcast, home of Mama, where I will be bringing you unfiltered anime reviews, giving you recommendations, doing some 18-up games, doing some a lot of good stuff that I know you are excited for. I am excited for it. This is a new podcast that will take storm one day. All right. So for today, I will be talking about the top most anticipated anime in winter 2020, because you know the year is about to come to an end, but that does not mean that next year isn't going to be just as good, if not better. Also, we are going to be talking about I'm going to be throwing it back this time. I'm going to be giving you a throwback to a very honestly, surprisingly favorite anime of mine. When I saw this anime, I was like, wow, I was not expecting it to be this good. I haven't even heard of you. Where did you come from? And also, I will be doing an astrology reading on a very important character today. Instead of doing what I used to do, I'm going to change my astrology readings up a little bit, and you're going to see what I mean. You'll see. Other than that, let's get started on the list. So, as we know, 2019 was great, okay? It brought us some of the greatest sequels of all time in anime of all time, such as Attack on Titan, My Hero Academia, One Punch Man, okay? I'm talking Attack on Titan season 3.5 this time, My Hero Academia season 4, One Punch Man season 2 that we've all been waiting for, and it even brought Psycho Pass season 3 out, and I was like, okay, bet. All while hitting us with a load of new and groundbreaking shows such as Vinland Saga, Demon Slayer, and The Promised Neverland that took the stage and left us wanting an encore. Now, with 2019 coming to a close, we face 2020 and the winter is going to ironically come in hot. Okay, with a ton of new manga / light novel anime adaptations and a few old stories that are here to continue. Well, I'm just fortunate something is hot this winter, okay? So I just moved to Minnesota, and let me tell y'all a little bit about Minnesota. For those of you who don't know how the weather works here, it is November. It has been 35 degrees for the past 2 months now. It has snowed maybe like 3 times now. It's been snowed like at least every other week. And when it snows, it comes down in like 12 inches so far. And I've been told I haven't even seen the worst of it yet. Okay. So coming in January, for all you tropical bitches who are like living in Virginia, to me that's tropical right now. If you think 50 degrees is cold for the winter, try living in negative 50. Oh yeah, I am going to have a real fun time with this. And let's not forget that now that we have we've had the first snowfall, the snow apparently doesn't go away. Because it's so cold here, it never gets a chance to melt. The snow will literally fall in October and stay until April. I will not see land again for a long time. This is going to be an interesting experience. That's all I'm going to say. I will not see the grass until April, guys. Oh boy, you wish me luck. But on the side note, I have some good anime to look forward to during the sad, depressing winter is coming Game of Thrones months. All right, so to get the list first started off, I kind of had it with a tie between this one series at number 10. So I'm doing a top 10 list. I'm starting with number 10, and the number 10 right now is a series. Well, it's split between two series. I have ID Invaded at number 10. And I also have another series called Infinite Dendrogram at number 10. So let's start off with ID Invaded. This is an interesting series. I'm just going to pull up the information on it, because if you look on like My Anime List or anywhere else, it doesn't really tell you anything about the series, yet it's coming out next month in January. So I went to Crunchyroll News and I just got the one sentence line. So the story of ID Invaded follows Sakaido, a detective who finds himself in a strange virtual world where he decides to investigate the murder of a girl named Kaoru-chan. ID Invaded will be released in 2020, which is January of next year. So when I saw the preview for this trailer, it's very trippy, it's very mysterious, very sci-fi-like, and I'm very interested in how it's going to turn out. I'm hoping it's not going to be like those awesome-looking sci-fi ones that end up being a hot mess or having some very obscure plot and not really full in-depth story. It's going to have an obscure plot and just fall off. I'm hoping it doesn't do that. But ID Invaded, when I first saw the preview, there was this guy who was standing over this girl who was murdered. She had a knife in her chest and blood was everywhere around her. And this guy was just standing over her. And the first thing he said was, "Kaoru-chan." For some reason, I don't know how I know this. For some reason, I don't know this girl. But when I see her, her name comes to me. And I know her name is Kaoru-chan. And then he looks up and we get to see that he's in this trippy alternative dimension where everything is floating. The background is white. Things are piecing together but breaking apart. And he says, "I don't know, but I must figure out why this girl was murdered." So apparently her murder is going to like solve the reason why he's in this alternative world. But this virtual world deals with a lot of people who are in it to like make it worse from what I've seen in the preview. And I'm telling you, there's like literally nothing on the internet that tells you about it. So I just remember looking at the preview and the girl was on the ground. He decided to figure out, he had no memory of anything at all besides the name of this girl and who he was. And that's it. He woke up in this alternative world, just like literally appeared in this alternative world, standing up like, "Huh, I'm here. This girl's murdered. Her name was Kaoru. I know who I am. I'm a detective. I must figure out who she is and how this world exists so I can figure out the mysteries of this world." It's an interesting concept, especially how like whenever he ended up, I think, failing his mission, he went back from the beginning and like lost an arm or something like that. So I don't know if he's gonna like lose body parts the more he dies or the more he loses, but it's a very interesting series from what I've seen so far. I'm very intrigued in where this is going to go. Check it out. ID Invaded is something that it looks really good. I just can't tell you more on it because you can't find anything on it, not even on their website. But ID Invaded is what it's called. The one that's tied with that, there is information on that. It's called Infinite Dendrogram, or Infinite Dendrogram, to be more precise. So Infinite Dendrogram, it takes place in the year of 2043. This is the world's first successful full dive-in VR MMO game that was released. In addition to its ability to perfectly stimulate like all the five senses, along with its many other amazing features, the game promised to offer players a world of infinite possibilities. And, well, it does just that. Nearly 2 years later, soon-to-be college freshman Reiji Mukudori, that's how you say it, Reiji Mukudori is finally able to buy a copy of the game and start playing with some help from his experienced older brother Shu and his partner Embryo. So Reiji embarks on an adventure into the world of Infinite Dendrogram. Just what will he discover though? What will he discover and encounter in this game world, known for its incredible realism and infinite possibilities? He will discover a lot more than he bargained for. I've seen the previews for this, and This is based off of another series called Infinite Dendrogram. This is just like its readaptation from years ago. They brought it back, and it's going to be even more lush than it was in the mid-2000s or late 2000s. It's going to be more lush, but it's definitely an isekai. It's another isekai that if you like ReZero, if you like Overlord, you're definitely going to like this. Just because it has very similar aspects. It doesn't have the same grandeur starting from the beginning as ReZero, and it doesn't have that grit of Overlord, but it does get pretty dark, especially whenever you dive more into the world of the Infinite Dendrogram. So that's number 10 on my list. I'm not the hugest isekai fan at all. The last isekai I've seen was Tate no Yusha no Nariagari, which is the Rising of the Shield Hero. I think I said that correctly. And that was pretty good to me. I cried a little bit. I loved ReZero. I loved No Game, No Life. Those are awesome isekais. But isekai just doesn't like hit it for me like some other anime do, so that's why I place it at number 10. However, I do know a lot of people out there are looking forward to Infinite Dendrogram, and I don't know if ID Invaded would be counted as an isekai because it is in another world. However, it's also not like transporting to another world at the same time, but we'll say number 10 is pretty much both isekai. Is going to be both isekais, ID Invaded and Infinite Dendrogram. Coming at number 9 is a series called Plunderer. And Plunderer is more of your fantasy, more of your sci-fi kind of anime series. And I'm actually pretty excited from this. It's by a studio called Geek Toys. They're not really known for like making a lot of stellar anime, like you have MAPPA and Studio Madhouse, etc., etc. But this is an actually pretty interesting concept. So, in a post-apocalyptic world dominated by the so-called numbers, each person in this world will have their identity branded on them with their own count. And the counts are the numbers they have on them, which could define any number related to their life. So, may it be one's walk distance or amount of compliments given to them by others, this count could lead them to the abyss when it has dropped to zero. So, long story short, when someone is branded a number on their chest, leg, whatever, wherever, it's a part of their body, that is their count. Now, their count can display their social class, it can display their standing in life, how many compliments they have gotten. It can go up, it can be maintained, it can go down depending upon the amount of distance a person has walked. Their number literally is defined by anything they do in this life. But the last thing you would want is that number to go to zero, because when it goes to zero, we don't know for exactly what happens when it goes to zero. However, it's not good. There, people are saying that when it goes to zero, that it means death. However, I think it could possibly mean something deeper than death, like not even existing, like being wiped off the face of the earth and from everyone's minds. However, we don't know yet until we see the series. But with that being said, in the year 305, so way back, in the year 305 of the Alcyon calendar, Hina has inherited a mission from her mother, whose count was depreciated to zero, to search for the legendary Red Baron. And in her adventure, she meets a half-masked swordsman named Light, who tries to hide his identity. And he is known as a degenerate for having an incredibly low count. So these two go on an adventure to find the Red Baron to complete her mother's mission that she couldn't do because her count dropped down to zero. And along this mission, she finds a lot of people who are trying to stop her, or trying to get in her way to see this Red Baron as well. And they will not let her get to this Red Baron. So I find this actually very, very interesting, very intriguing of an anime, just because everything is defined, everything that you know of, everything you live for is defined by the number you carry, the seal you have. If you walk more, it goes up. If you walk less, it goes down. If you don't get enough compliments, it goes down. Like, your number can be defined by so many things. And I'm interested to see how does that play in this journey. Like, will this girl lose Hina? Will she lose a lot of her number? Will it depreciate to one because she's on this treacherous journey? Will people come after her? Can people take her number away from her? Like, what can happen? It's going to be pretty interesting. It definitely is. It's not an isekai, but it is in a post-apocalyptic world, so it does go into your fantasy, and it does have a lot of good qualities about it that I'm super interested in. The preview is all on the internet, so please check it out whenever you have the chance. So, number 8 on the list, that will take us to Samori to Mori no Kamisama, which can be translated to Somali in the Forest Spirit. So how I see this anime, think Nausicaa meets Fruits Basket. Exactly like that. This is going to be a slice of life. This is going to be very heavy on the heart. And the synopsis of this is you have a world that is ruled by spirits. It is ruled by goblins and many other manner of strange creatures. The human beings are being persecuted to the very point of extinction, but one day a golem and a lone human girl meet. This is a record pair, for one, the girl is a member of a ruined race, and the other is a watchman who's supposed to protect the forest and get rid of the humans. This series tells the story of their travels together and their bond between father and daughter, because the golem actually takes the girl in as his daughter. However, in the preview, you see that the golem tells the girl, after he's bonded with her and stay close to her for a little bit, he tells the girl, us golems have a very limited lifespan. I have 1 year and 110 days left in mine. And the story just goes from there. Now, just imagine this little girl, 6 years old probably. Her whole family has been murdered. Her whole race is practically extinct. She feels alone. She doesn't know how she's going to live. And then she meets this person who is the only person that can protect her from this race of creatures that are killing her people. And she befriends him. She loves him. That turns into her father. But then one day she finds out he's going to die in 1 year. Just imagine how tragic that is. What is this girl going to do to fend for herself? However, it's not your action adventure. Slice, kill, and destroy. You see what's going to happen is that after the girl finds this out, you start to see the bond between the father, the golem, and the girl grow even more. And the story is pretty much about this girl going on adventures with the golem and all these awesome experiences. And it's about how much they grow close to each other. It's going to be sad. It's going to be heavy. But the story is about the relationship between the two of them and the journey that they go on. It's going to be so awesome and so cute. I'm so excited for this. So the next one on my list, number 7, I have what's called Inspector. So, N/Spector. Now, Inspector, I'm probably not the most keen on this. However, I know it is getting a lot of huge ravings in the anime community and the manga community. A lot of people are looking forward to this. So the story of Inspector is both touched by spirits called yokai. Okay, that makes more sense. So yokai are spirits, guys. Both touched by spirits called yokai, Kotoko and Kuro have gained unique superhuman powers. Both to gain her powers, Kotoko has given up an eye and her leg. So a right eye and her left leg, much like Edward Elric. My bad. Edward Elric. And Kuro's personal life is in shambles. So when Kotoko suggests they team up to deal with renegades from the spirit world, Kuro doesn't have many other choices, but Kotoko might have a few ulterior motives. So this is just a lot going on in anime, but it's going to be a good romantic slash action slash thriller slash a little bit of comedy. It's pretty much these two are falling, and one hopes that he falls in love with her after they have been, this world that they're in has both treated them like crap, to be, for lack of better words. It's number 7 on my list because I'm interested in seeing how that all plays out. But there are others on my list that I'm more excited to see, such as this next one, A Certain Scientific Railgun. Now, this one I am actually pretty stoked about because in America, a certain scientific railgun is like a series. They have A Certain Scientific Railgun. There's also season 1 and 2 of that. And then there's A Certain Scientific Railgun season 3. There's also A Certain scientific something else I can't remember that they came out with. The series is pretty huge, but mainly huge in Japan. And the Japanese people love this series. And I am excited for this new season coming out. It's A Certain Scientific Railgun T, pretty much. So Toru Kakuko no Railgun, A Certain Scientific Railgun is what it's called. And the plot of this whole thing is based off of a manga, which is called the same, which is the same title. Is known. Let me start. Hold on. Misaka Mikoto is known by many as the ranked 3rd level 5, the highest attainable level of an Esper, and a role model to many students in Academy City, especially in Tokiwari Middle School, where she studies. However, a little known fact is that Mikoto is also like most of the population of students in the city and is far from the role model figure many assume her for. The series of The Certain Scientific Railgun documents Mikoto's various exploits within the city, together with her devoted roommate Shirai and her friends Saten and Uiharu. So the first season of A Certain Scientific Railgun focuses on the mysterious sound file that is rumored to allow its listeners to gain Esper levels, as well as the teacher that develops the file. The second season coincides with a substantial arc in the whole Certain Scientific Railgun Index. Certain Scientific Railgun series, which is called A Certain Scientific Index. And it involves an experiment that used Mikoto's DNA map to create clones of herself, which are later slaughtered to give way for an attempt to produce the first level 6 in Academy City. So both of these seasons feature anime original story arcs from the actual creators. They're not really based off of the manga. They do anime originals for that. But the next season is going to be pretty awesome. There's not really much information on it. There's a preview that lasts 16 seconds and the girl shoots fire out of her fingers. That's all I can tell you. But the reason why I'm interested in this is because of how the storytelling of this whole arc comes into play, where it deals with Mikoto and how she has all of these exploits going on in her life, but they break it out into series. Like season 1, she has this going on. Season 2, this part of her life goes on. And these are all the reasons why she's not a good role model that people think she is. So I'm interested in that. And also the series has a lot of good action, a lot of good graphics and exploding things and random things that pop out of nowhere. It's very imaginative, and that's why I'm excited to see it. And it's going to be awesome. So, the next on my list, at number 5, just take a guess.
Kawa した約束忘れないよ目を閉じてしかめる押し寄せた闇を
吹いて All right, so pretty much what's going on with that is Madoka Magica is coming back with their own sequel. However, it's going to be based off of the Madoka Magica Magia Record video game. So this is a video game that is really popular, especially in Japan. It is an app, actually, that you can get on your smartphone. I don't know if we can get it in America, but probably could. And Madoka Magica is pretty much basing this this next series off of the video game. So, like, you know how Fate series has their video games and arcade games, and they made the Fate Grand Order off of that. Madoka Magica is making their next sequel, Madoka Magica Magia Record, based off of that. And in this new sequel, we still have Madoka, but we also have a new heroine, and her name is Iroha. And Iroha is a magical girl on the hunt for her missing sister, Ui, in Kamihama. Guess who else is in Kamihama, though? Madoka, who's searching for the similarly missing Homura. So, this is going to be a very interesting series, especially since this is a mobile game spinoff from the Madoka Magica Magia Record franchise. I'm very interested in how this is going to go because I love Madoka Magica, and now Homura's missing. We have this other new character. I want to see how these two come into play with each other. This is going to be pretty brilliant. I saw the trailer. It's going to be lit. I'm excited. So, number four on my list is a very interesting anime called Pet. So, this anime is for you guys who are very interested in Parasite. If you like Tokyo Ghoul, if you like those gritty sci-fi out there kind of anime, Pet is going to be really good for you. The studios is Geno Studios. And how the story operates is there are people who can get into people's minds and control their memories, so much like Parasite, get into people's brains and control their bodies. But you're using mind control with this. The power is used to eradicate mysteries and end cases, or worse, to assassinate. The potential of the said power is strong enough that it is able to destroy people's minds. However, it can backfire and eat up their own hearts. So, yeah, Parasite. To counter it, chains are used to lock and protect each other's weak and dangerous hearts. From one's growing fear and disdain, they're consequently called as a pet. The interesting thing about this anime is that there's going to be a lot of action. There's a lot of deep storytelling that comes into play. I think there's also a same-sex relationship or a hint of one from what I've seen in the previews. There is a very deep story that with the characters. A lot of different characters that have their own different layers, so we don't just get one character, we get multiple characters. And also, I'm excited to see the graphic violence as well and how it comes into play with the whole pet energy that's going on. It's very, I'm telling you, I got a lot of Parasite influences and inspiration whenever I saw the preview. It's going to be really well played. I'm excited for that. That's probably one of the most excited ones I am. Probably one of the anime that I'm most excited for on this list. So yeah, check out Pet, number four. So, number three on my list, we have what's called Dorohedoro. Dorohedoro is a very interesting anime. It's pretty much the studio that makes it as MAPPA, and you know MAPPA is known for their very unique anime, such as Sarazan Mai, Terror in Resonance. They also made Inuyashiki. These animes are very weird. Like, they have weird characters that do weird things that are like super scientific or super extra, super like imaginative, super out of this world, but they have a really, 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 really great story. So I'm actually really looking forward to this, even though the character, the main character is a pretty much a big lizard. I'm actually looking forward to this because even though the main character is a big lizard, I guarantee you there's a very deep, deep, deep story behind him. As knowing MAPPA, they will have a very intimate story to their characters. So the synopsis of this one is, it's an all-you-can-eat buffet of new information. So the synopsis of this story is, in a city so dismal is known only as the Hole, end quote. A clan of sorcerers have been plucking people off the streets to use as guinea pigs for atrocious experiments in the black arts, which is where the goriness and the graphics come into play. In a dark alley, we have Nikaido found Kaimen, a man with a reptile head and a bad case of amnesia. To undo the spell, they're hunting and killing the sorcerers in the hole, hoping that eventually they'll kill the right one. But when N, the head sorcerer, gets word of a lizard man slaughtering his people, he sends a crew of cleaners into the hole, igniting a war between two worlds. So what I'm getting from the vibe of this and seeing that the picture, the artwork, and the preview is a very post-apocalyptic looking world where you have just so dismal. It's literally called the hole. It's a pit where so much goes on. You have this lizard man who has amnesia and he's trying to figure out, how did I get here? What's going on? So he wants to undo this spell and he's killing up all the people who are pretty much causing this world to be a hole. And then you have the head guy pretty much just coming in to invite some cleaners. So this is where it gets really messy. So not only is it already bloody, gory, and violent from the sorcerers using the humans as experiments, is going to get even more violent because we have the cleaners coming in trying to kill this lizard head guy. And the lizard head guy is pretty strong. Nikaido is pretty strong. And it turns out into an all-out war between the two worlds. So I will say, if you're not a fan of violence or gore, please don't watch this. But if you don't mind that, it's going to be pretty epic for you. And I'm talking like Hellsing kind of gore, like Hellsing Ultimate kind of gore. So be aware of that because it looks pretty graphic. But the animation style looks very interesting, very different, very comic book-like. I'm very excited for this one. And it will be releasing on January 12th of 2020. So very soon. And best thing yet, this series will be distributed on Netflix. So it will accompany the other MAPPA-made anime, Kakegurui, in its weirdness. Oh my god, I love MAPPA. I can just go on all day and talk about MAPPA. However, we gotta go on to the next series. The next series I have on my list is another interesting graphic intense series called Darwin's Game, which is based off of a manga, and they finally bring it to life in this anime. Let me see if I can find the description for you all. Here we are. In Darwin's Game, Kaname Sudo is an ordinary high school student, as they all are, who receives an invitation mail from a mysterious app called Darwin's Game. After launching the app, Kaname is drawn into combat against other players who wield supernatural powers in life-or-death battles. Confused and alarmed, Kaname tries to survive, only to learn from another player named Shuka Karino, which is going to be our 2020 version of Yuno from Future Diaries, that there is no way to quit the game. So, I'm getting some really good vibes from this, but also some mad Future Diary vibes. Just because you have a smartphone, this kid is launched into a whole nother world. Well, not a whole nother world. He's still in his world, but he enters this game, this real life game of life or death battle through his smartphone. And this cute blonde girl comes in. Thankfully, she doesn't have pink hair. comes in and she tells him, there's no way to quit the game. You're in it now forever. You must fight for survival. So this where it gets pretty intense. You have a lot of action going on. It's kind of one of those anime that, like, when you look at it, you're kind of disturbed at some of the scenes that go on. Like, for example, in the preview, I saw the guy when he entered the game, his first opponent is this panda hat, panda head wearing guy. So he meets the panda head guy, like, out of nowhere, and the panda head is looking at him. He's on the ground, and they just stare at each other for, like, 5 seconds. And then the panda head guy raises this large knife or cleaver, whatever it is, and just starts trying to hack at him. And the main character, who is Konami, is like, hold it, hold it. And he, like, runs and avoids the cleaver-wielding guy. But at the same time, it's disturbing because you see this big panda just holding a knife and trying to whack it at you. That's where the little disturbing part comes into play. But it's going to be, like, Future Diary disturbing. If you're disturbed by it, it's probably gonna be really good. There will be scenes that may make you like, what the shit is going on here? Whoa, this is dark. Whoa, this is kind of violent, but like a disturbing violence. But it's gonna be really good. I'm super excited for this. This is number two on my list. Now, as for number one. Number one, guys, I know you all are excited for this.
早速ですが, big news です.
If you can guess it.
Kageyama-kun. 全日本ユース強化合宿の招集がかかりました.
全日本?
Japan?
すげえ!
すごいね.
先に行くぜ.
Yes, we have our volleyball playing boys back for season 4. Haikyuu will be coming back in January 2020. And the story for this is, while in preparation for the upcoming national tournament, the news of Kageyama's All Japan Youth Training Camp invitation came to them. In addition, you have Tsukushima will also be invited to the Miyagi Prefecture first-year selection training camp. However, Hinata, who was flustered with the difference between the first years, makes a sudden appearance at the Miyagi Prefecture first-year's training camp. What? Towards the national tournament, Hinata, Kageyama, and Karasuno High School Volleyball Club will be facing further challenges as well. You will be seeing new character design for Kageyama and also Hinata and many others. It's going to be more lush. It's going to be more graphic. I've already seen the previews. It's actually going to be really good. A huge step up from the first season of Haikyuu. It's going to be so awesome. I am excited for this. I am more excited for other anime, of course, like Pet and Dorohedoro and also Darwin's Game. However, I'm super excited that this is coming out with their fourth season. And I know for a fact that this is definitely the most anticipated anime of winter 2020. Simply because of the large fan base it has in both America and Japan, and also France. If you did not know, France actually has a huge anime and manga following. Oh my gosh, I was surprised when I went to Japan and saw so many French people. They love it. However, you will see the first half of the new season of Haikyuu released in January 10th, 2020, so very soon. But guess what else, which is very smart on the producer's part. The season 4 will be split between the second half. Hold on, let me repeat that. The season 4 will be split where the first half will be released and hold on, let me repeat that. Season 4 will be a split core where the first half will premiere on January 10th, and the second half will premiere in July 2020 during the Tokyo Olympics. That is stellar planning on their part, just because there's going to be so much hype about sports, so much hype about the Olympics. And you know, Haikyuu being premiered during the 2020 Olympics, people are going to be under TVs watching the Olympics. I just hope that they planned it well to where it's not going to be premiering during a time that the Olympics is going to be on, which is probably 24/7. However, I'm super excited. January 10th, first half of the new season, and then July 2020 during the Tokyo 2020 Olympics will be the second half of the season. Let's go. All right, so that ends my most anticipated winter anime of 2020 list. So we will throw it back today. Let's start twerking you all to this preview of a series that I'm going to throw it back to, which is...
The case is anything but closed.
Satoru?
Get up. Mom!
So, like, does that mean you'd kill to protect me?
I'm gonna do what I didn't the first time. If I can make her do something different now, maybe it'll be enough to change her fate. Maybe it'll change everything.
This time, I won't leave her standing here all alone. This time,
I'm going to save
yes.
her.
Yes. I threw it back for you all to Erased, which came out in winter 2016, so it's going on about 4 years now. And when this anime came out, honestly, there was not much advertisement on it. There was not much going on, like, for me to hear about it. So whenever I saw it on, I think it was Crunchyroll or Hulu, it was Hulu, I was like, let me check this out. This looks pretty interesting. And I binged the absolute hell out of this series. I mean, like, I finished it within like a day or two. It was so good. It was the perfect amount of suspense, thriller, action, mystery. I was like, save him! Save him! No, save her! No, don't! Oh, shit! Go back in time! Go back! It was sugoi. So awesome. And so, what you heard in the preview, you heard a little bit of the going back, I must save her, all that jazz, pretty much deals with this guy who is named Satoru Fujinuma. That's what it was. Satoru Fujinuma is a real detached 29-year-old manga artist who he notices that whenever tragedy is about to strike, he is sent back several minutes to prevent the accident from happening. And you see that a little bit in the first couple minutes of the episode one, where something happens and he's sent back because of his universal powers to just change that accident from happening. However, he does not do it intentionally. It happens unprovoked, pretty much. So this manga artist, Satoru, has taken advantage of his powerful but yet mysterious phenomenon, which he calls revival, to save many lives, and he's done it in the past. However, when he is wrongfully accused for murdering someone close to him, Satoru is sent back to the past once again, but this time to 1988. 18 years in the past, not just a few minutes, 18 years. Soon he realizes that the murder may be connected to the abduction of the and the killing of one of his classmates that happened 18 years ago. The solitary and mysterious Kayo Hinazuki that took place when he was a child. This is his chance to make things right. So this story follows Satoru and his mission to uncover what truly transpired and happened 18 years ago and prevent the death of his classmate while protecting those he cares about. Because what's going on is the reason why that person who was so close to him was murdered in the first episode was because of apparently something that was linked 18 years all the way back in time in 1988. So he thinks if he prevents this abduction of his classmate, that it's going to stop everything from happening in the future. Like, it's going to prevent a person from being wrongfully accused in 1988 is going to prevent more deaths that happened because of this killer that was not caught in the 1980s. It's going to prevent this person who's close to him 18 years later from dying. It's going to prevent a lot of things. So he is now on a mission to save her. Save Kaio. And he thinks that if he saves Kaio, that everything will be prevented. And this anime is so good. It has so much thrills to it. Just me telling the story alone should get you on your feet. Like, oh yeah, I'm going to watch this shit. Just because, who would have thought something 18 years ago would prevent, something 18 years ago would still be attached to a murder that's about to happen now. Like, it's so good. Gotta watch it. All right, and now on to the final segment of my podcast. I will be doing my very well-acclaimed astrology portion of the show. So, for those who follow my blog and also my website, which is mamaknowsanime.com, you know I like to do astrology readings on anime characters. Today's guest, we have Lelouch V. Britannia from Code Geass, Lelouch of the Rebellion. I am excited for this one because instead of doing what I normally do, which is like guess the person's sign based off of their personality, I'm going to go a step further and actually give Lelouch a reading. So without further ado, I'm going to call to the stage Lelouch V. Britannia. May you come up. Thank you very much. And I'm going to look at some things that are going on with him. Ooh, this is spicy. Okay. So, he is highly intelligent. He is calm. We know that he's very sophisticated, but can be arrogant. And we also know that he conducts himself as sociable. He's very easygoing. He conducts himself as likable. However, all of that is such a front. That is just a mask that he wears, because truly inside, what the true nature that we see him is exposed when he puts on the mask of Zero and becomes the leader that he actually is. A person that is manipulative, a person that is a risk taker, a war leader, someone who sees things as only his way, someone who's actually pretty selfish. We see all the dark nature, the true natures of Lelouch come out whenever he is Zero. So with that being said, I know for a fact that Lelouch is Sagittarius. Mainly because, one, if you look it up, it says he's Sagittarius. It makes kind of sense because Sagittarius are big philosophers. They're big on being their own person. They're the most adventurous and the most expressive signs there are. If they don't have the expression they want, they feel trapped and they feel pinned down. They are lovers of life. They're big philosophers. They're also really quick on their feet. They're quick thinkers. Lelouch is definitely a quick thinker. However, when I tell you his moon sign and his rising, it makes a little bit more sense as to why he's a Sagittarius. So, I'm seeing here that Lelouch is very magnetic. People are attracted to him, and he doesn't know why. People are attracted to him. He attracts people. And I am giving that his rising sign. I'm giving it to his rising sign, which is Scorpio. I can guarantee you he's a Scorpio rising. Because Scorpio risings are known to be very attractive. They're known to have very sharp features. They're known to also be these magnets for people. People want to like transform themselves off of them. However, the Scorpio doesn't really want or care to have those people attracted to them. I mean, the Scorpio low-key kind of does want people attracted to them, but they don't at the same time. Scorpios are weird, I'm telling you. How Scorpios handle themselves is they are magnets. They do attract people, but they only keep a small circle of people. They have their acquaintances, but they have their two or three really close friends that they really want to keep in. And other than that, Scorpios, especially in a Scorpio that has harsher aspects in their chart, they don't care about abusing or manipulating the people who are not close to them so that way they can get what they want. Because Scorpios, especially ones that are more undeveloped, the ones that have harder aspects in their charts, really want to get what they want. They only see things as their way. They're not committed whatsoever. They want what they want, but they want you to be devoted to them. They can also use the people who they aren't really close with so that way they can get exactly what they are looking for, all while having that Scorpio magnetism to them. So people come to them and they will use the hell out of that. How Lelouch hides it well is because of that Sagittarius sun. That Sagittarius is very on the surface. It's very sociable. It's very people like Sagittarius. It's very real. It's very adventurous, and people want that. But they don't see the Scorpio underneath that's a very deep, deep, deep diver. They like to think a lot. They think very deeply, and Lelouch thinks very deeply. They're very intuitive. They can be master manipulators. They can be super, super sly when need be, and that is definitely Lelouch. His rising is definitely hidden behind the sun. His moon, I am honestly going to bet money it's Aries. Because if you think of it, we have the Scorpio magnetism that allows people to want to be around him. Added on top of the Sagittarius sun that is very sociable and can be like the charismatic person to the charismatic leader that people want to follow because he has that charisma. But then you have the Aries moon that makes him have the energy to do it. To do it, seek and conquer, and to get things done. Aries is of the planet Mars. Mars, the god Mars, is known to be aggressive, to do whatever means necessary to get what they want. They are very energetic. They're lively. Lelouch isn't like lively, however, he does have the Aries energy that is a pioneer, that I will take what I want and I will take and I will get what I want. So I think that is definitely what's going on with him. Sagittarius sun, Aries moon, Scorpio rising. And if you ask me, that combination bites. That is a spicy combination. Oh my god. And as I said, you have that Sagittarius essence, that charisma, on top of that Scorpio magnetism, which is also brewing some manipulation and some deep, dark thoughts inside. Some, what can I do to you to get what I want? On top of that Aries moon that will definitely act. It's like the Scorpio is thinking all of the, what can I do to you to get what I want? But the Aries is the one that acts on what Scorpio is thinking. And the Aries is like, okay, Scorpio, you thought that? You thought of what to do to get them, to get what we want out of them? All right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be the one to like actually do it. I will conquer. I will confront. So that is honestly what I feel about Lelouch. What could he have done differently to actually progress the Knights on further without ending the way Code Geass did? I'm not going to spoil it for people who haven't watched it. But what he could have done differently was tap a little more into that Sagittarius side, because he was definitely being Aries. He had that Aries conquering personality, but he had that Scorpio selfishness inside of him. And a lot of people, because of that, they questioned his character. They saw that Scorpio that was like sneaking through the grass, like, I'm gonna do what I want. I wanna do some things to get what I want. But on the surface, I won't tell you, and I will make sure it's very for the good of the people. I'm going to have pretty words like a Sagittarius to be what's good for the people, to have use my charisma to gather what I need to gather. But I'm going to have that Scorpio like brewing underneath the surface, like, ooh, we can use him. And there were people who saw that. Kellen kind of saw that. And another character that was underneath him saw that. Another character too, I think his name was it Obi? I can't remember. But a lot of people saw his true personality. They saw, all the little trends added up. They noticed, okay, why is he doing this when he could do this and save more lives? That's the Scorpio acting out. The Scorpio is like, I'm going to do this. Because even though this could save more lives, I don't care. I want these results. So I'm going to do the opposite of that. So the Aries was the one that was like, okay, Scorpio, you thought the idea. I'm going to do it. So if he would have used more of that Sagittarius side and tapped into that, people wouldn't have caught on to him as easily. Because Scorpio was definitely brewing underneath the surface. But I honestly believe if he would have kind of been more authentic, and Sagittarius being not as selfish, Sagittarius can be selfish, but like not as manipulative and not as only for me, then he would have not been caught onto. A lot of people question his character. And Lelouch, a lot of people questioned your character. A lot of people thought that you were an unfaithful leader. You had the Aries to be a great war leader. That was awesome. But that Scorpio in there really stirred up some trouble, and people saw through those colors. People saw the true you. They saw your true intentions. You should have used that Sagittarius, man, you know? However, that is the end of the reading. That is it for today. Thank you all for tuning in so much. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. There we go. If you like what you heard, please follow the podcast. Please give it to your mama. Tell her to follow it. Give it to your daddy. Give it to your great-grandnephew. Somebody. Make sure you just spread the word of the podcast. Spread the love. Please follow my Instagram, which is mamaknows.anime, M-A-M-M-A, knows, K-N-O-W-S, .anime. We know how to spell anime, I hope. And then my website, where you can find my podcast and find my blog posts, my exclusive posts that I don't talk about on my podcast. Please go to my blog so you can find out and read some awesome posts. My blog/website is called Mama Knows Anime, MAMMAKNOWS anime.com. Mama Knows Anime.com. Also, I have a Twitter now, which is at Mama Knows Anime, no periods whatsoever. Follow me there. Just stay up to date, stay in touch. If you like what you heard, just follow me so you can never miss the next episode. All right. So, and also if you're into astrology, please follow the blog because I have my astrology and anime readings up there as well. I also do readings and tarot readings and astrology readings. So eventually I'm going to add bookings up there. I will also be working on exclusive merchandise. So please stay in tune for that. I already have some merchandise up on my Etsy shop. Go to my website. You can find my Etsy shop. And it's astrology-based badass called Sailor Mars that I originally drew. Yes, yes. Other than that, I hope you had an awesome time. Please stay safe, stay awesome, do you and nothing but you, and I'll catch you next time. Itadakimasu.